Morning. So let us listen for the word of God as it comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Thus says the Lord. Amen. So let's join together to sing, Christ be our light.
Thank you.
We join together to pray. Let us pray. Lord, we are not sitting by a lake today, but as the crowds eagerly gathered to listen to the stories and the truths that you told them, we also await for your word to us. We have joy in our hearts and anticipation. We pray that you will give us listening ears and hearts open to receive your love, your teaching, and your wisdom. But we confess there have been times when we have not offered to you our best. And we have not learned from our experiences. We confess with sorrow that there have been times when we haven't taken care of ourselves or the people that we share our lives with. We confess that there have been times when we didn't want to see and we just took things on face value. We confess that there have been times when we wanted your seed planted in neat rows, when our plans were more important than yours, when we have been determined to sort things out for ourselves rather than let the Holy Spirit prepare the soil of our lives. Lord, forgive us and make us new. And the Lord says, I have come to give you life in all its abundance. We are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We're going to be talking today and exploring a really, really well-known story that Jesus tells. But it's a parable, which is a bit like a riddle. So let me give you some riddles. You can catch me, but never throw me. What am I? Beth got it. It's cold. What can you see once in a minute, twice in a moment, but never in a thousand years? Once in a minute, twice in a moment, but never in a thousand years. Anybody get it? The letter M. Yeah. People buy me to eat, but never eat me. What am I? People buy me to eat, but never eat me. What am I? A plate. Now, the stories that Jesus tells are not that sort of riddle, but they are stories which are designed to make us think. And they are designed to make us wonder, in that story, what does that mean? And to look at it, not just on face value, but to explore what is going on beneath the surface. So let's listen for the word of God, which Jean Thompson will read to us from Matthew's Gospel.
That same day, Jesus left the house and went to the lakeside, where he sat down to teach. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it while the crowd stood on the shore. He used parables to tell them many things. Once there was a man who went out to sow corn. As he scattered the seed in the field, some of it fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some of it fell on rocky ground, where there was little soil. The seed soon sprouted, because the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, it burnt the young plants. And because the roots had not grown deep enough, the plants soon dried up. Some of the seed fell among thorn bushes, which grew up and choked the plants. But some seeds fell in good soil, and the plants produced corn. Some produced 100 grains, others 60, and others 30. And Jesus concluded, "Listen then, if you have ears. Listen then, and learn what the parable of the sower means. Those who hear the message about the kingdom, but do not understand it, are like the seeds that fell along the path. The evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in them. But the seeds that fell on rocky ground, for those who receive the message gladly, the seeds that fell on rocky ground stand for those who receive the message gladly as soon as they hear it. But it does not sink deep into them, and they don't last long. So when trouble or persecution comes, because of the message, they give up at once. The seeds that fell among thorn bushes stand for those who hear the message, but the worries about this life and the love for riches choke the message, and they don't bear fruit. And the seeds sown in the good soil stand for those who hear the message and understand it. They bear fruit, some as much as 100, others 60, and others 30. Amen.
Warm greetings to all those of you joining us on the web as opposed to on Zoom. I'm Leslie Charlton, I'm the Minister of Kingston United Reformed Church. And the text I'm preaching from on this day is Matthew 13, 1-9, 18-23. So that's a story and an explanation of the story. For those of you who don't know us, it would be great if we could get to know you. Send us a message, email, text, the whole caboose is available. It would be good to know you. So I need to start this sermon with a disclaimer. I need to say to those of you who don't know me that I personally am not a gardener. That's an understatement of the last 100 years. I'm not only not a gardener, I hate it. And I've been on retreats for this hill. It's just really good for you to get back to nature, put your hands in the soil, blah, blah, blah. No. So anything I'm saying here about plants and farming and growing crops is other people's work, and it's from the books. So the story is a parable. That means that it's designed to make us think imaginatively. And the question for us is, who are we in this story? Are we the sower? Are we the seed? Are we the soil? Who are we on a good day? Who are we on a mean day? Who are we today? So it starts with Jesus going outside to talk to the people. He is expecting a crowd. And this is a simple story, simple parable, told to people who did know about soil and seed. And we know it as the parable of the sower. But it's not about the sower, it's about the soil. The sower does what the sower does, faithfully, obediently. The sower is not to blame if the soil is not productive. The variable in the story is about the soil. Good soil leads to abundant crops, and it depends on where the seed falls. I say the quality of the soil, which could imply a value judgment, but it's not better or worse soil. It's about, is the soil fertile for the seed or not? Some soil has been walked on for years. It's been pressed down, and the seed will land on the top of it, and it will stay there. Soil, like humans, is shaped by its environment. People walked on time and time again, develop a hard shell to protect themselves. Has that happened to us? And are we praying for a softening that we would be more fertile? The soil with thorns can easily be about those who have an overfull life. Isn't it interesting that people are now discovering that being busy was how they managed their stress? Maybe you're among them. They thought that the busyness was the source of their stress, but they now discover it's how they manage their stress, to be always on the move. The rocky soil could be about those who lack staying power. When the going gets tough, they clear off. It's all superficial, bright, shiny, new, gone when under pressure. And I wonder how many people have discovered as a harsh truth that some of their friendships are not that robust. And good soil? Wouldn't it be great if you could go and buy good soil? Or better still, if we're in the world of metaphor, that you get a book and read it and turn us into good soil. But good soil takes years to cultivate. It must be worked and reworked. It must be dug over. And those who are gardeners need to tend the soil as carefully as they tend their plants. The soil must be fed. It must be worked and reworked, but not so hard that the structure is broken down. It can just sort of happen when leaves fall and they rot into the soil. But it can be the work of people intentionally digging, planting. But this parable is not about gardeners. It's about the sower. Although it sounds bizarre to us, scattering seed was and is in some places of the world still an efficient way to distribute and to plant in a large field of grain. We get mentions of God as the sower in a range of texts, Jeremiah 31, Hosea chapter 2, and in Matthew it has Jesus who sows the word of the kingdom, and then the disciples who become the sowers of the word. Yes, there is differentiation between some seed and others. Some is more fruitful than others, 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. But there's no condemnation with that. It's a statement, no more than that. So if it's the job of the disciples, it's our job to sow. We might feel discouraged about the fact that we feel that we have so little influence in terms of spreading the good news, or feel that we make no difference at all. Or feel that we're just really gutted by the fact that we have behaved the same as everybody else in this crisis. But there's hope, though, even for terrible soil. We've seen the pictures of the trees grow on the rock face, held in place, who knows how, but apparently flourishing. Or the plants poking up underneath the concrete. So, who are we in the story? It's a parable. How are we using our imaginations? Jesus and the prophets before him spoke about the importance of listening beyond hearing the words. Have you ever heard of deep listening? Listening with compassion, listening to understand, listening with the intention to act, listening with open ears and an open heart. Jesus closes the parable with an instruction to act. Listening to the teaching and then being among those who will bear fruit. To participate in the kingdom of God being made manifest in the earth. You and I as a part of that. But let's go back to the title that we know, which of course belongs to the church, not to Jesus. The parable of the sower. Who is the sower? God. Disciples? Play with it. It's a parable. There's no right answer. It's to make us think and feel and act. If the disciples are the sowers, so are we. Called to do what we can, with no sense of responsibility for the amount that is produced. It is our job, though, to sow the seed. And are we doing that? Someone spoke about time spent in the queue at the supermarket. Before she leaves home, she prays that it'll be a good and positive encounter. And going regularly to shop, at the same shop, she finds herself in the same queue with a range of the same people. And they've got to the stage now where they're talking about their lives and how they're managing. And one of the stories moved her to speak to a person when they were on their own and to offer to pray for her. I don't know how you feel about this, but I will pray for you. And that is a sentence offering seed that someone can accept or they can spit it out. It's not getting a bag of seed and forcing it on somebody. It's a brave and gentle response to our call. Yes, we live in an atheistic country, but that does not diminish the good news that we have to share. We have to share it with delicacy but sharing is our calling. People are hungry for the good news. And a quote from Les Isaacs, who founded Street Pastors. "We are in a country that is moving further and further away from God, and I come from a tradition where we preach the gospel and taught the word. But then the Bible teaches that the word became flesh, and I've always said to myself, how does it become flesh in the schools, in the pubs, to old people?" So some questions. What does it mean to be good soil, prepared to receive the word of the kingdom? How do we assess the shape of our soil is in? What will we need to do for the seed to be able to take root in our bodies and souls? How will we know it's happening? And how might we nurture good soil in those who are around us? So if you've had this sermon electronically, I've sent you these questions already. They're at the back, obviously. And if you need to have a conversation about yourself, about this, I'm up for listening to you. Where will we sow this week? What will grow in us? And who will we allow to weed us? Amen.
Wow, what a marvellous sermon, what a fantastic preacher. Let's join together to pray. Let us pray. God of the creative word and the word made flesh, we live surrounded by words and sometimes they trick us. We hear words that encourage us to covet things that really we don't need. We hear words that spread gossip and diminish. We speak words that will hurt others. We casually throw words away, oblivious to the pain they bring. We are subject to the power of words. Help us with the words that we scatter this week. Be with those who have important information to communicate. We pray for the journalists, for the politicians. We pray for the health professionals. We pray for those who hear hate-filled and violent voices, that you would protect them. And we pray for those who have good news to share, that we would be brave and sensitive. We pray for those who this week will hear words that will cut them and make them sad. for those who will hear bad news about a relationship, about the health of a person, about their own health, about the end of someone's life. Bless those who use words well to create and build up, the leaders whose words inspire the best in us, the artists whose words let us name ourselves. Bless the evangelists who speak of Christ and sow a seed in his name. Bless us as we listen, that we would be discerning and hear you, Jesus. And bless us as we speak, that what we say and what we do would be for the work of your kingdom. Grow in us, Lord, we pray. Amen. So some notices. I don't think he's with us, but happy birthday to John Watts for today. Happy birthday. Next Sunday is another one of the Synod services, so you'll be getting the link for that. Any of you who know Mary Williamson, I would be grateful to hear from you, because I've got a job for you. So if you could communicate with me, that would be jolly helpful. And just to tell you that I'm going away this week, I will be around for a back, but I'm going away for some prayer, and then I'm going away for some holiday. So I'm going away. I'm going to dedicate our offering. So I'd like you to reflect on the gifts that you have given. The money that you've given through the bank, and just to remind you that the work of the church goes on. The money is being spent, so we need people to be putting the money in, and post your checks to the building or put them through my door and I'll walk them down, and if you need help learning how to do things electronically, we will make that happen. But for now, let us pray. Lord Jesus, we offer ourselves for the work of your kingdom, and we symbolize that with our heart's passion and the offering of our money and the offering of bread and wine. Pour out your spirit on these gifts. They symbolize that we would offer all that we are and all that we have . Let us be generous, Lord Jesus, as you have been generous with us. And this bread and this wine reminds us that you have offered everything for us. Thanks be to you, our God. Amen. So the choir have been busy working, and they're going to lead us in singing 10,000 Reasons, and you're invited to join in. Thank you. God of new beginnings, you invite us all to come to you. Help us to let go of all the pain, of all the judgment, of all the resentment. God of living water, may we thirst always for justice, for peace and for love. God of new creations, renew us. May your seed be fertile in us. Renew us by your Spirit, that we may bring forward the birth of your kingdom. So the Lord Jesus, took bread, took wine, and we will follow his example. And the narrative of that day is this. While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take this, it is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. So we are the friends and the disciples of Jesus today, and he invites us to break bread, to remember him, and to pray that God's kingdom will come. So we take this bread and we take this wine, and as Jesus gave thanks, so we give thanks. We join to pray. We praise you, our God, for the world you have given us, for the life we have been born to, and the future that you have promised us. We praise you for the liberty and the victory and the new creation Christ has won for us by death and resurrection. That he has broken pride and despair and death so that everything can be free and new and alive again. We praise you for his glory higher than the skies and brighter than the sun and moon and stars, that penetrates the darkest places of earth, the hovel, the slum, the place of hunger and despair, of sorrow and loss, of greed and lust, of loneliness and pain. We praise you that you are known to us in the everyday and the ordinary. And yet you, our extraordinary and powerful God, can take the ordinary and change it and transform it as you can transform us. Be present with us through these gifts of bread and wine, that we, in our separateness, would know ourselves to be united with you. Your love, which is stronger than anything that can keep us apart. Be known as we eat and drink. Lord, we pray. Amen. Took bread, which he had blessed, and he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And he took the cup, a sign and symbol of his blood that would be shed. "This is my blood," he said, "shed for you." The body of Christ. The blood of Christ. So let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for changing us. Thank you for making us new people in Christ, restored in relationship with you and with one another. Thank you for giving us your Spirit to be our guide and helper, for her presence to inspire and provoke the very best in us. May our thankfulness flow in our living as much as in our praying. May we take up the challenges that await us in the week with joy and hallow all creation through the gentleness of our living. May we be constantly amazed by your grace and alive to the wonder of your presence. For you who have fed us in bread and wine have claimed each of us as your children. And we are glad. Thank you. Amen. So we're going to sing a blessing, and then we'll say the grace, and then we're going to have a church meeting, and it would be great if you could stick around and make your contribution. And to make this church meeting work, we're going to be dividing into groups. So please stay if you can. But we know God has calls on other people's lives in other ways. And it's great for those of you who have made it with us onto Zoom for the first time. Hooray! Good to see you. So let's join together to sing. The blessing of God be upon us, the one who loves us, the Christ who calls us, the Spirit who makes us holy, today and always. So let's unmute ourselves, and we will send that little blue dot, yellow square, absolutely not square, as we say the grace together.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
and the love of God, and the fellowship
of the Holy Spirit, be with us all,
Amen.
Amen. best wishes to those of you that we can't see who are obviously worshipping God sitting in your pants. So please stick around if you...
I don't know why it happens with this.
Please stick around if you can for the church meeting. It'll be great. It'll be great. And now, our brothers and sisters, I invite you to mute yourselves. Does anybody have any matters of members' time, anything that they want to talk to the rest of us about? If you do, please would you wave? Either Martin Verge does.
So this is from the music committee, just to mention the virtual lunchtime concert, which will be on the 23rd of July. Details are on the website and the Facebook page, but Constance Cho, who's played many times for us in the church, she will be playing from her home on her own grand piano. It will be live on YouTube, or you can catch up later on YouTube and watch it afterwards. Donations are towards the KCAH, so please have a look at that.
Anybody else? Raymond Charlton, speaking from the dining room.
This is just a reminder that if you signed up for the Christian Aid quiz, we are rerunning that next Friday, this Friday coming. And if you haven't sent me your Zoom ID name, please do so. We need that by Wednesday. And we look forward to seeing you all on Friday. We think we've sorted out, or Richard sorted out and has helped us what went wrong before. So we hope we'll have a very good quiz this Friday. Thank you.
Yeah, and a word of prayer for Richard's blood pressure on Friday would be very helpful. We appreciate it. Anybody else? I cannot see anybody waving at me. That's not, if I've messed this up and you are trying to wave. Yeah. Beautiful. Martin Verge, would you like to lead us? There's only one Martin, isn't there? Yeah, Martin, would you like to read us in prayer, please?
Sure, let's pray. On this day, we sing to you, our God. We sing praises to your name. We lift up our songs to you, who are above all things. On this day, we meet to share fellowship together, to pray, to share communion, and to receive your word to us. And on this day, we meet to talk about our church's life and work for you in Kingston. Through your Spirit with us, guide our thinking and speaking. Bless us this day and lead us into tomorrow with faith strengthened and body willing to serve. Amen.
Just did that to frighten everybody. This is the Holy Habits book, which has the background for what we are going through together, looking at holy habits. So we're now going to watch the video of the second one for us. The second one, gladness and generosity. Thank you.
Exploring the habits of gladness and generosity, it's important to remember again that there will be times when this comes quite naturally and is quite easy, times of joy and celebration. There'll be other times when to be glad and generous is much more challenging, demanding and difficult. It's really important to explore this habit because it shapes so much the kind of world that we want to live in and create and be. If we live in a world that's mean and me-centered, is ungrateful and moaning all of the time, then that just diminishes life. But when we live gladly and generously, everybody is blessed.
The assets and the money of the church don't belong to us, they belong to God. The Finance Committee firmly believes that their role is to serve the church and to find the finances that the church needs to do God's work. Andrew Roberts says that generosity is a prophetic and countercultural symbol in a world of avarice and greed. We believe that the M&M giving by churches is not just about buying the services of a minister. Andrew Roberts talks about giving with gladness and generosity. That comes from 2 Corinthians 9-7, where it says God loves a joyful giver. Stewardship is not just about hoarding money and saving up as much as we can for a rainy day. And we would want to see congregations giving with gladness and generosity, and not just view it as a financial transaction.
In my book, Holy Habits, I share the story from Rwanda of a lady who found the generosity in her heart to forgive the man who had murdered very violently members of her family. I found that story deeply, deeply challenging, not least in the context of many of the churches that I've been part of or served, when sadly, very often, our petty differences and bitternesses and disagreements get in the way. Living gladly and generously is a means of grace and forgiveness and freedom.
Over the years, I think Commitment for Life has really given churches a chance to understand what is happening in the world. Life-giving faith is about the love that God has given us, but it's also about giving life to others. Defiant Hope is really looking at the structures that keep people poor and doing something about it ourselves. Generous love, that's the giving generously, giving gladly for what we have received from God. Commitment for Life has been a real success within the United Reformed Church over so many years and will continue to do so for many years to come.
There are lots and lots of ways in which we can practice the habit of gladness and generosity, both personally and collectively. So collectively, the Food Hub Project, for example, is a great example where Christians go into the supermarkets, get with their permission, obviously, food that's just about at its sell-by date, and then give that to others. The Food is Free Project is another great example.
Unites us. We used to share it. We used to grow it together. And for some reason, we've forgotten how rewarding that can be and how unifying it can be. When we meet in the garden, all of our differences fall by the wayside. It can seem so daunting these days, you know, when we flip on the TV or look at the news headlines, how we can actually make the world a better place. But what we realized in planting these gardens out in our front yard and sharing the harvest with our neighbors is that we've made a real difference in our immediate sphere of influence. We realized that we can build community anywhere. When you focus on your little piece of the world and make a difference there, if we all do that, the world is changed. What started as a front yard garden is now evolving to become a worldwide movement. On every continent, over 190 cities around the world are starting Food is Free projects. We believe in creating a new kind of world, one of possibility, one where we see that you and I are connected, that we're here to help each other and we're in this together.
Where people grow food and give it away. There are no charges involved at all. We can do things individually. We can pay for somebody's meal in a restaurant. We can waive a fee that we might otherwise take. Sometimes it's the smallest act can be the means of great blessing to others. So let's be imaginative and creative, and let's try and practice this habit on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, and then perhaps make an annual special effort to do something really big and exciting.